I remember another part of that chorus. Is it Hallelujah, What a Savior?
That's the other song. I kept trying to.
Okay. No, that was great.
It's a different song.
Well, we had a question in the 9 o'clock service. So that would be this. So if you turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 1, we will attempt to answer the question about the presence of God in the Old Testament specifically. The question is, why does God talk to Abraham through an angel in chapter 22 rather than directly through visions earlier in the book? Interesting question. Hebrews chapter 1 starts off this way, as you read in verse 1. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Scripture is letting us know that there are many different ways in which he communicated to the Old Testament saints. And we oftentimes make reference to the theophanies, that is to say, the presence of God and the revealing of God in the Old Testament. There are also pictures of Christ in the Old Testament. And if you look in Genesis chapter 18, and probably part of the reference was to this as well, in Genesis chapter 18, you see that here Jesus is literally made reference to within the passage. Doesn't use the name Jesus, however, it does use the name capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, which is Jehovah or Yahweh within the passage. If you remember in Genesis chapter 18, we are by the oaks of Mamre. And it says in verse 1, at the very beginning of this text, now the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre. What's interesting is that he appeared to him in such a way that he was perceived to be just one of three men, because the passage makes reference to the fact that there were three men that were there. However, as we go on in verse 20, we see a distinction that the Lord, once again, all capital, verse 20, and the Lord said to him, the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave. And then he states in verse 21, I will go down now. Now, at this particular juncture, Abraham begins to appeal to the Lord. And at what point Abraham perceives him to be the Lord, it's not easy to ascertain. However, he is in human form, which is pretty interesting to me. And we also know that the other two that were with him, if you look in chapter 19 and verse 1, and the two angels came to Sodom. So there were two angels in human form. There is the Messiah in human form. And this is not an unusual thing in the Old Testament. In fact, as you look in Ezekiel chapter 1, it makes reference to, as the Jews will call it, the chariot of God. It's a great picture of the great chariot of God. And Ezekiel chapter 1 actually gives an interesting description as this, there's one sitting and on this expanse. And after the great description of the chariot is given, we pick up in verse 26. Now above the expanse that was over their heads, there was something resembling a throne, like lapis lazuli in appearance, and on which resembled a throne upon high was a figure with the appearance of a man who was sitting on the throne of God. Well, one like the Son of Man. Now, we know that this is not the Father. How do we know that? Because, as John puts it, no man at any time has seen God. In other words, you can't see God in all of his glory because of the extensiveness of who he is. In fact, Scripture says God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Who is this man? And, of course, Daniel will see a similar figure within the text. What's interesting is that God will reveal himself in different ways based on what message he needs to send across. And so in one case, and you probably remember this in Exodus chapter 3, we have God speaking through a burning bush. And he's speaking to Moses. Now the question is, why would he speak to him in burning bush? Why doesn't he come to him in human form? because God is really conveying a mission and he's conveying his relationship with Israel in that burning bush. He is declaring himself to be a great God, a God of fire, God that consumes, as Hebrews will actually go on to say, our God is a consuming fire. He's great, he's powerful, he's magnificent. No doubt about that. However, what's amazing is that you have this bush that should be consumed almost instantly because these kind of bushes in the desert were easily inflamed, and yet it's not catching on fire. It is a bush that is oftentimes described as a bush of thorns, and this will literally describe the nation of Israel. It is a thorny bush to God. In fact, they'll do him a favor when he's crucified and make a crown of thorns. The government of the Romans will do that. And they'll place upon him, with the affirmation of the Jewish leaders, this crown that comes out of this bush of thorns. Well, it's an interesting picture of Israel. They're an obstinate people. They're hateful people. They are prickly people. They only cause trouble. Nevertheless, God's going to love him, and he's going to be in their presence. And though they deserve to be destroyed, he will not consume them. And so what a great picture that he gives. There's another occasion in which we realize that God is seen as a rock in the Old Testament. Moses will oftentimes refer to this, but if you look with me in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul will make reference to this. Yeah, probably some of you are going, why is he going to Corinthians? He's talking about the Old Testament. Well, Paul's talking about the Old Testament in 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, for I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized. Interestingly, it makes reference to going through the sea as a kind of baptism, which is a walk of faith and believing that God would pull them out of this. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. Watch the phrase here. For they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. So when you see the rock in the Old Testament, and probably one of the reasons too is Moses hits that rock too many times. But we realize that God reveals himself in many ways. The way that it's put in Psalm chapter 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiworks. You read through the psalm, the trees are singing. This is why God is called the Lord of hosts. The name actually Zaba makes reference to every single molecule that has ever existed that makes up everything in all creation. And what it's literally stating is that he's Lord of all these things, and he's seen in all these things. We sing the song, in the rustling grass we hear him pass, he speaks to me everywhere. Why does he do that? Because in him we live and breathe and have our existence. So the question is, why does God reveal himself at one point, perhaps in a very visible way, and why does he do it in another way, in another text? It will convey within the passage what he's wanting to convey. And so if he wanted to convey his refreshment to the people, that he's a rock, solid, dependable, he'll reveal himself in that way. If he wants to reveal himself in a way that he's patient yet powerful, a burning bush perhaps, he'll reveal himself. But the wonderful thing is, in these last days, he has demonstrated who he is through his son. And the wonderful thing is, you read in John chapter 1 that no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten from the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. And it's an interesting picture because you realize that Christ is God. Scripture tells us that he emptied himself of the great power of God. He took on the form of a bondservant and became obedient to the point of death, even on the cross. But he never at any point ceased to be God. But what God did was, he, we could probably put it this way, he extended himself in the sphere of grace and truth. And that's why John 1 says, you beheld the glory of God, the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. So when Christ came It wasn't his power, it wasn't his majesty that you saw. It was grace and truth. And it will be that grace and truth that will die on the cross for you. It's still God. And it's wonderful that in these last days he revealed himself to us in that way, because clearly he could reveal himself in his righteousness and his judgment. Jesus will say in John chapter 3, don't think that I came into the world to condemn the world. I came into the world that you might be saved. And so we realize that God reveals himself in different ways at different times to convey specific things. Well, Father, we give you thanks for revealing yourself to us. And Lord, we see how you speak to us in so many different ways. And sometimes you speak to us through the circumstances of our day, and we realize that they were not accidents. That was you. That was your presence. Because we see your grace and truth that is being proclaimed in everything that we do now as believers, and how wonderful it is to see your face in these things. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.